We're going to turn to God's Word now, and we're going to be reading a psalm, Psalm 130, which is on page 624.
Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins.
Thank you, Martin. Well, it's officially started, hasn't it? The first Advent candle is alive and well, lit up, and the countdown has started. Number of shopping days to Christmas has begun. Actually, we don't actually use that anymore, do we? Because every day is a shopping day. So perhaps it's the number of sleeps that we need to count, which I believe is 24. And my annual trip up into the loft to find the Christmas decorations will have to happen over the next few days. We've started to hear the same old Christmas songs, haven't we, wherever we go, on the radio and in the shops. And the first of our Advent doors is going to be opened this afternoon. And it sounds as though one or two doors have been opened, not Advent calendars already. Chocolate has been consumed. And today our series of talks on Advent, not surprisingly, is beginning, where we're looking forward to the Messiah who was to come, and indeed did come, that first Christmas. And what that Messiah was to bring, hope, peace, joy, and love. And you may have guessed that we're starting with hope, which is inextricably linked to the future, isn't it? You can't hope for things that have already happened. It would be senseless for me to hope that England will win the Rugby World Cup final last month. Maybe it's not senseless to hope that they'll win it in the next final in 2023, although I have underlined maybe in my notes here. So how do you view the future? Well, when you're young, you perhaps have a fairly limited view of the future, don't you? It's perhaps just your lifetime. But when you get a little bit older, perhaps when you have children, you start to think a little bit further ahead. Well, what's this world going to be like during my child's lifetime? And when you become grandparents, it gets even longer, doesn't it? As you look ahead and you think, well, what's it going to be like for my grandchildren? Because they could well be alive in the next century, which is a sobering thought, isn't it? So are you excited about the future? Are you daunted? Or are you downright frightened and fearful? There are so many things perhaps to trouble us, aren't there, in this world. We've mentioned one or two of them already. War. If we think back over the last century, there were two major world wars, weren't there? And now we've got weapons of real mass destruction. Are you worried that the fingers on the red buttons now include Boris, Donald, and Vladimir? And what about terrorism? Again, we've seen terrible sights in London again. What about the rise of new ideologies? We've seen ideologies come and go, haven't we? We saw perhaps communism come last century and largely go, not entirely. And what about new religions? or existing religions. What about medicine and disease? What's going to happen when antibiotics don't work anymore? There have been scare stories about health, haven't there, over the recent years. We had scare stories about AIDS, about BSE. You remember we were all going to have spongy brains because we were eating meat. Well, what's going to come next? And, of course, our environment. What is going to happen with global warming? It is a warning about global warming. And greenhouse gases and the quality of our air. And the pollution from all the plastics we're using. What's that going to be like in the future? And what about poverty, refugees, homeless, famine? Will there be enough food to continue to feed all of a growing population? What about crime, disorder, the rise of knife crime, gun crime in parts of the world, lawlessness, the breakdown of moral values? Is the family still is it now an outdated concept? What about all the sorts of abuse that seem to be on our news bulletins day by day? And what about the lack of respect? Well, respect or the lack of it? Even in this country, over this last year, I think a lot of our politicians have lost our respect, haven't they? Are they going to be able to regain it? Well, many of these are immense issues, and I'll stop there because you're probably pretty depressed by now. But they are things that all could radically affect our futures or our children's futures. Are we bothered? Well, I suspect the answer is yes. We probably are massively bothered, aren't we? Is God's world being spoiled by mankind and womankind, to be PC? All of those massively worrying and depressing issues may affect us all, but I suspect we've also got our own fears, our concerns for the future. What about our own health? If I'm well now, will I be seriously ill in the future? If I'm sick now, will I recover and be restored to good health? What about financial worries? Is my job secure? Do I have enough money in my pension to do more than just survive? Can I afford to support my dependents? And what about my relationships? Are they secure? Could I be left alone and lonely? And finally, literally, finally, what about death? It's going to come to all of us, unless Jesus comes again, of course. What will be the manner of my death? What comes after it? Will it be good or bad? How can I make sure that it will be good? And as I said before, if the world list wasn't enough to get you depressed, that probably is. And so many of these are man-made issues, aren't they? The damage to our planet, the jealousy and the desire for power and wealth, which leads into so many conflicts, the lack of respect and concern for others, the lack of respect for our environment, for our world. And that's what the Bible calls sin. And what we need in the face of all these fears is something to cling on to. We need hope, an expectation that things won't always be as they are, but will be better. Well, on what can we base that hope? The humanist view will probably be on mankind. Many of the problems are caused by man and can be solved by man. Just look at the advances in science and technology and agriculture and medicine. Can we rely on man alone? Well, history would certainly suggest there's a resounding no to that question. But the Christian would say that there is hope in the person of Jesus Christ, the Messiah whose birth we are celebrating over these coming weeks. We're celebrating the fact that he brings hope. He was foretold in the Old Testament amongst the prophets and the psalmists. And so the Jewish nation were looking to the future They were hoping for someone to rescue them from their current situation, a Messiah who would come in power. Of course, the Old Testament has many references to the one who was to come, and we'll just pick out one or two, and I'm sure there'll be some more over these coming weeks. Martin read for us Psalm 130, which was written by someone who clearly recognised the fact that he was a sinner and is crying out to God for forgiveness. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. And he was clearly waiting and hoping. Verses 5 and 6, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than watchmen wait for the morning. But with God comes unfailing love and pure, full redemption. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. And here's the crux of it. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. And that's actually the greatest of all our hopes, isn't it? That the one who was to come would be their saviour and would bring love and forgiveness. The prophet Jeremiah also wrote of one who was to come. He was writing about 600 years before Christ was actually born. And that was a time of great conflict with superpowers of the time vying for that power, Assyria, the Babylonians, Egypt, and the smaller nations like Israel and Judah were being overrun and caught up in those alliances. Well, Jeremiah spoke out about the sins and failings of his own people, rebuking them for their idolatry and warning them of God's judgment. In chapter 33, he talks of restoration for the Jews if they turn back to God. Because the Lord is good and his love endures forever, in verse 11. I just find Jeremiah chapter 33, where it says this. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the gracious promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteousness. And the prophet Isaiah, of course, also wrote about the Messiah who was to come. And in such an explicit way that his words actually form part of the build-up to Christmas, don't they? In fact, we used them as part of our responses earlier on. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 to 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He'll reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness for that day, from that day on and forever. So the hope then for the Jews was that one would come to restore their kingdom, to lead them out of the slavery they were in and to be their king forever. And they needed to be patient, didn't they? God's timing often isn't the same as ours. We tend to want things now. While God may well make us wait. And for the Jews, the wait was a long one. Hundreds of years between these prophecies about the Messiah and the birth of Jesus. So maybe they'd grown a bit tired of waiting. Certainly when he came, Jesus wasn't the type of powerful leader they were hoping for to overcome their enemies, because here was Jesus, meek and mild. And the tragedy for the Jews was that in general, when Jesus did come as their Messiah, their Saviour, they missed him. After such a wait and after all that anticipation, the great day passed them by. Not all of them. In Luke chapter 2, we hear one that was waiting for Jesus. And when Jesus was 8 days old and he was presented at the temple in line with the tradition, there was an old man called Simeon, who was a priest, and he'd received a promise from God that he would not die before seeing the Saviour of the world. And here we have it. Simeon took him in his hands, in his arms, and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." So Simeon was convinced that the one he'd been hoping for, the one who was promised by God, was here in the person of Jesus. But for so many others, the significance of the birth of this child passed them by. And when Jesus grew into his ministry and revealed who he was and why he'd come, they still ignored him or rejected him. So for us, as we approach Christmas in 2019, our hope isn't in a Messiah who is still to come. Ours is in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who has already come to this earth as our Messiah, as our Saviour, to save us from the consequences of our actions by paying the price for our sin, and to prepare the way for us to have a personal relationship with God, not just during our lifetime here on earth, but for all time. And that hope isn't the same as hoping for a nice Christmas and a happy new year. Our hope is so much deeper than that, based on the faithfulness of God and the promises he's given us. If we have faith and hope in Jesus, the problems of the world and our own fears and concerns lose their significance. If God is with us, who can be against us? And in Romans 8:28, that familiar verse, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him." So whatever it is that you're hoping for this Christmas, I would urge you, don't miss out on Christ.